Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Man Reimagined with myself, Richard Ayling, and Malcolm Nichols. How are you doing, mate?
G'day, Richard. I'm doing very well. Tucked halfway around the world. I think you're in a bit of summer. We've definitely just hit winter as we speak right now. And so I'm wrapped up in lots and lots of clothes. But having said that, I'm avidly anticipating our conversation tonight, mate.
just thinking of you wrapped up in a little shawl there, shivering for dear life, pleases me, actually. That's
certainly not Bali at all, is it, mate? It's not 30 degrees and sweating at midnight.
No, but I mean, I'm here in Portugal, and I've got the shorts out for the first time this year, so I've been walking around in shorts all weekend, which has been delightful. So just to rub salt in the wound, old friend.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you very much. It snowed today, just so you're aware of, by the way.
Well, now that we've got the weather out of the way, and as an Englishman,
that's, you know, exactly right.
Well, that pleases me a lot. Tonight, or this morning for me, we wanted to further dive into what we started talking about last week, and, you know, the dissolution of the roles, you know, that men and women have been experiencing and the impact on men. And I'm kind of leading this one, right? Because I feel like there's more to be said on this topic. And I feel like the piece around the impact that it's having on men is something that we can probably speak more to. I think it would be helpful to get very real on some statistics, so that it's you and I and our experience and what we're sharing from the people that we know and the people we work with, but also the reality, the harsh reality, I think no one's really acknowledging, of statistics from mental health studies in men and the overlap between what we've been trying to say and what is appearing, what is being commented on, you know, scientifically and based on psychology and mental health studies. And I think that would be a great way to lead into it. And then I also like to try and do a better job at speaking into four ways for men to step up. Last week I was encouraging men to step up and do something, and I'd love to try and think of ways for them to do that, because you and I have both said that there's no real clear roadmap for men. And we didn't offer so much of one because we're trying to figure that out ourselves, aren't we? So that's the direction of today's podcast. I also, before I dive into all of that, I want to give you a chance to say more than how the weather is for you, and give you a chance to reflect on what you thought worked really well in the podcast last week, because you've listened back to it and you've heard some feedback from some people as well. So share with me and share with anyone listening what stood out to you from what we talked about last week and what worked well.
Well, I mean, I think in some ways, what I think for me is even just having a discussion about the fact that there is this dissolution of roles, and that men are struggling with, or at least you know that it is challenging for us, right? It's confronting, you know, and that it's something that we need to look at and be honest about. And I think, so for me, just even naming it and being willing to name it, I feel it was a really good thing. Like, the topic in and of itself is a really powerful topic. So for one, that's what really works. And I'm actually glad that we're diving into it more this week to, you know, it sounds like you've got some really juicy stuff. So I'm not really all that privy to what Rich is about to share with us tonight. And part of that is deliberate, really, to sit back and kind of get what, hear some of these statistics, and then for us to have a really open conversation about, you know, what they might mean, and where, and as Rich said, you know, trying to be a bit more, trying to chart a path forward. One of the things that I really liked about last week's discussion was the conversation that we had around, you know, self-worth, self-esteem, and value, and how we value ourselves, how we value our contribution to the world, you know. And I think that is a discussion that is a really worthy discussion when it comes to mental health, and men's, everybody's place in the world, but, you know, in this instance, men's place in the world, you know, creating an inner sense of value as opposed to an external sense of value, which comes through money and personal accolade, right? So that, you know, those were things that I thought were really valuable from last week. And now I'm, you know, really keen to see where we're going to go with this week's discussion as we take it a little bit further.
Nice. Thanks for that reflection, Mal. I guess I'd love to just start with sharing some general observations that I've been able to make from having interviewed quite a lot of men lately as I move my coaching into supporting men and understanding what their struggles are and understanding what kind of men I'm able to help, specifically with my own experience, etc. And just some general observations that are across the board, I think. And I'd love to hear your reflections on them, and perhaps they've come up in the podcast before, but it's nice that what our sense of what men are going through is being reflected in the men that I'm talking to. So there was this overall sense, and we're talking now about the impact of this dissolution of gender roles and the ever-changing world around us. I can't make the dissolution of roles responsible for everything, right? But certainly the impact that where men are at now, I would say, is that men, there's a sense of us losing a piece of ourselves. And so many men said that they're not sure what it means to be a man anymore. And they actually do spend time thinking about it, but they don't spend time talking about it with other men because of the sense of I don't know not being a great place to come from. That strong man image, I know from what men have said, leads men to feel actually trapped and stuck in, like, between this old paradigm of being the breadwinner and feeling like, as you shared last week, they need to provide, and also wanting to change and wanting genuinely to evolve, but having no ideas how to do that. And there's a sense of hiding so as not to get anything wrong, because a lot of them have shared that men feel like we're in the firing line at the moment. And, you know, especially like if you're a white male, you know, you've got privilege, it means you need to be owning up for things, you need to be shifting your behavior. And that's coming from many different angles, and I'm not going to open that discussion up, but the impact is that men do feel like pressure from all sides to be better, to be different, but also a lot of us feeling like, well, I didn't realize I was behaving so badly. Not all of us are actually behaving so badly. And again, not all men as a hashtag is avoidance, but the result and the impact is that men don't know how to behave differently. And instead of asking and taking a stand and creating conversations, they retreat inside themselves, and they're terrified of saying the wrong thing, especially in the office, because it comes back to that sense of safety that came up for you and I when we shared our experiences with Karina. Like, am I safe to express who I am and what I think? Because if I get it wrong, then I'm going to be cancelled, I'm going to be fired, I'm going to be this. So there's been a sense of pressure to account for like a lot of like male history, basically. So these are some of the things that have come up a lot in the men that I've talked to. How do you resonate with that? Is that something that you that makes sense to you? Do you experience that? And what about the men that you know, Mal?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, hearing all that, it just confirms kind of my sense of where we're at from, you know, conversations that I've had with other people, and then conversations I've had with myself about it as well. You know, it sounds absolutely correct. And I think this, you know, there was that bit about the I don't know, which, you know, really sparked something in me. It's, you know, that lack of certainty can be debilitating, and it really does feel at the moment like there is a level of uncertainty just in terms of how to be a man that probably is quite unique, I would imagine, actually, in terms of the evolution of men. Of, you know, I don't really know, but it has a sense of it being really, really unique. And so to hear that, you know, that's quite a common theme running through all the interviews you've had, and this idea of, you know, men retreating back into themselves, all that all just seems so, it does seem really apt, you know, and really correct, I think, you know, just to, in terms of the various responses to Me Too, and the you know, a lot, you know, we've talked about the head in the sand kind of denialism, I think, or the, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, the, you know, that's not me, I'm not that kind of a guy, I don't do any of that stuff, therefore I'm just going to step back a little bit, and the silence that we've talked about a number of, you know, it just kind of confirms it. And it's not to say that it's wrong. It's absolutely normal, right? Because it's quite a confronting situation and quite a confronting place to be in. So, you know, hearing all that from all the, you know, and I know you've interviewed a number of men to get all that information. And so it all just kind of makes a lot of sense to me. Rich.
Enough said. Thank you for that. I feel the same way. I'd love to, just dive straight into these statistics. And this is from mentalhealth.org.uk. So it's based, these statistics and these studies were done in England. And I think that's a fair barometer for a lot of countries that, you know, we can relate to being in. No doubt there's different results in differing countries, but I think it's a good base to go from. And the page was last updated on the 12th of November, 2020. So the impact of COVID has not been recorded yet. And that is only going to exacerbate all of these statistics for men and women, for sure. But we're focused on men's mental health in the focus here, right? But that's something to keep in mind. As is this disclaimer, I guess you could call it, at the beginning of the website, and I think it's important to read out. As with many mental health statistics, it's hard to know if the figures really represent what is happening. They can only tell us about mental health problems that have been reported. Many cases may go undiagnosed. This may be especially true when it comes to men's mental health. I think you and I have talked often enough about men holding back, men not feeling like they can share what's going on, and the amount of men that are resistant to men's work or just reaching out for help and support borne out in some of these statistics. But you and I have experienced that enough with the resistance that we know men have to even sitting in circle and choosing to say, I want to be around other men and I want to show up in some way. It's tough, right? So, are you ready?
I am ready. I wasn't quite sure then if that was a question or a rhetorical pause. But I am absolutely ready, Rich. Bring it, bring it.
Pausing, setting the scene, setting the tone. So here are some statistics. Let's go through those. 3 times as many men as women die by suicide. In 2019, 6,000 suicides, 75% of which were male. men aged between 40 and 49, hello, you and me, have the highest suicide rates in the UK. That's that midlife crisis, we might call it, kind of area. Very interesting. Men report lower levels of life satisfaction than women, according to the government's National Wellbeing Survey. Let's just stop and deal with those three first. Three times as many men as women die by suicide. Three times as many men choose to end their life rather than try and tackle their situation. Why do you think that is? Why is it that men, and this is us trying to make sense out of it. We're not doctors, we're not psychotherapists, but this is us trying to make sense out of it. Mal, I mean, is this related to the fact that men don't feel like can open up? What's your sense?
Yeah, well, just firstly, I mean, that three times as many more men suicide than women is the same in New Zealand. So that's really telling that the UK and New Zealand are the same. I think Australia is pretty similar as well. So they're three, I mean, I know they're very Anglophile countries, but I'm guessing that it's probably, I think in Switzerland has a very similar kind of thing as well. To be honest, I'm almost not even shocked by that stat because I've heard it before, but it's shocking, right? It's fucking absolutely shocking. But what you said that really surprised me, which I didn't know, was that age group, the 40 to 49, and that being the highest amount of male suicides. And that I'm actually really gobsmacked by that, and you know, to the point where I'm actually a little bit fucking heartbroken, if I'm brutally honest. And I mean, I certainly, I get, yeah, I mean, and that low, so the lower level of life satisfaction, I mean, that I think in some ways that's kind of the guts of the matter from when I heard it. It's like getting to the bottom of what that is feels like that might give more of an insight into the other two. I'd love to know more about what that is. Like, what is life satisfaction? What is life expectation? There's so much to that. I'm a little bit actually speechless at the moment, just kind of digesting a couple of bits of those pieces of information. Thinking, you know, because one of the things that's jumping out at me is, you know, I know that I've been through some tough times in my late 30s, into my early 40s. You know, I went through what I would designate a midlife crisis, but it was more like a midlife carnage, really. You know, where I kind of sunk into some quite bad places, and the big question that always came up for me was, you know, what's the point? What is this all about? Why am I doing what the fuck I'm doing? You know, and, you know, I found myself, you know, essentially kind of, I was definitely financially bankrupt, but I was also feeling pretty emotionally bankrupt. So I know what it's like to get down into that place. And it was that question of, you know, what is the point? What is this all about? You know, and it felt like for me that there was a story, like it was like the story of society that we'd been fed, that I'd been fed from the time I was young around, you know, work, job, earn money, blah, 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 housewife, etc. You know, all that had kind of come crumbling down after my first marriage ended. And you know, there's a whole raft of things that were around that in terms of, you know, your pain around not having children with her and various other things. And so, yeah, my world really did crumble down. So I kind of get a sense of what other men would be. They'd probably be going through variations of the same theme, I reckon. I don't know, but I'm curious to wonder if that is the case. And then if that is the case, the other part is, you know, the resilience. Like, at no point when I was in that state did I think, you know, this is not all worth it. Even though there are times when I felt total despair and didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't have a sense that I couldn't handle the situation, you know what I mean? But obviously a huge amount of men do, and that's so, yeah, wow. I'm a bit gobsmacked about that age group. Rich?
Yeah, it's that time when, if you have had kids, then they're growing up. Maybe they're ready to leave the nest, maybe they're not. I think that a lot of parents having kids at a later age, but from, again, some of the men that I've spoken to, that question that you posed, what is this it? Well, what's the point of all this? And if they're not feeling satisfied or fulfilled in what they're doing, if there's not connected to a sense of meaning in their lives, and they're not connected to a sense of connection, connected to a sense of connection, does that make sense? But if they're not connected to the people that are around them, then these questions come up. And it's not just in places like the UK and New Zealand. How many times have we read in that men's circle WhatsApp group that men in Bali, the island of the gods, you know, taken their own lives and either left families behind that had no idea? Or even 2 weeks ago, a gentleman, I won't reference his name, but part of a community there, very solid in teaching yoga, etc. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but that affects a community. And you'd think that someone in that space would have the support, would have the connection, and yet he didn't feel like he was able to reach out for that support, or didn't feel like it was worth continuing. I taught a guy some breath work, and I helped him feel a sense of ease and peace. And I'm so blessed that I could do that a couple of years back. And then I found out a couple of weeks later, he'd taken his life as well. And it's a conscious choice that this makes more sense to me. So it's really sad. And I'm also heartbroken when I continue to receive these messages, because I feel like it's avoidable if men had more support. So if anyone's still listening, we're going along a certain track right now, but my intention is for us to be real and deal with these statistics and the feelings that come up with them, so that we can choose to respond. Because if it's not you that's being affected, guarantee there's someone in your field that is. And if you can sense that they're not dealing with this very well, then maybe you can offer that support and do something. You're ultimately not responsible, they are, but when we know that we have support and people we can reach out to, life becomes very different. So let's throw out a few more statistics.
Just before, there was that bit about the reaching out, isn't it, and the you know, that part, well, I guess I think one of the things that has just gone and come up for me as we've been talking about this is that the part about, you know, the idea of a midlife crisis has been talked about a lot, right? But it's often looked upon with a little bit of derision, you know, from people. It's like, oh, that guy's just going through a midlife crisis. He's, you know, left his wife for a younger woman. He's gone out and bought a new car. He's done this, he's done that, you know, he's changed his wardrobe. He's done all sorts of things, right? And it's kind of looked on with it's almost looked down upon or a bit of derision is probably the right word. And what I'm realizing is that the narrative around a midlife crisis actually needs to change a little bit. You know, reading that stat about what you've just said, and as you've said, you know, talking about the reflecting on what's going on with people we know in Bali and various other places, it's like actually thinking of midlife crisis as a crisis as opposed to a jaunt into a bloody good time. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's really jumping out at me at the moment is that needs to be a complete reframe about that experience that men are going through. That's where I'll leave it there for now, but that's just jumped out at me right now.
Great. Like, that hadn't occurred to me, and I like that reframe a lot. That makes a lot of sense. there's a separate tunnel we could go down around how women sometimes unintentionally kind of make fun out of men when they don't know what's going on, and then they, you know, try and go through this phase. And we could all do well, I think, to, yeah, not make fun out of each other. I mean, this isn't about gender specifically, but to not sort of put each other down. But I know that a lot of men in that age group do struggle with standing up for themselves and standing much more in a sense of, hey, how can they? They're struggling. And so that conversation around reframing it being about derision and, oh, it's just a phase, there needs to be more awareness around that. Just like, no doubt, there needs to be more awareness around the menopause and the effect that has on women and how little men know how to deal with that, right? So I want to balance that out because we've both got our struggles in our various genders. But yeah, I really agree with what you just said.
Yeah. And I think one of to also be supportive of women here too, you know, one of the reasons that women can be quite derogatory of men going through a midlife crisis is they can be the ones who are suffering on the other side of it as well. So in some ways I'm often thinking of this as a man looking out for other men, you know, because I know when I've got mates who, and I've seen it and witnessed it, who have been in that place and you know, watched a bit of the crazy kind of come in, and it's actually, I think what I'm getting is it's actually part of my responsibility to reach out to that, to those guys who are in that place, because there's more, there's a lot underneath that. There's a lot underneath the crazy decisions on the external, and that's what needs to be reached out to.
100%. All right. Men are, no shock to me, less likely to access psychological therapies than women. Only 36% of referrals to the National Health Service in the UK talking therapies are for men. Nearly 3/4 of adults who go missing are men. 87% of rough sleepers are men. One more just to compile our misery. Men are nearly 3 times as likely as women to become dependent on alcohol and 3 times as likely to report frequent drug use. And again, I know several men that I've spoken to that, yeah, like that's what they do when they're in that space that doesn't feel great. They use alcohol or some kind of drug to numb the pain, and they deep down, they know it doesn't serve them, but in that moment, it really fucking does. And we've got the statistics to bear it out that that's something that men go to. And I'm just wondering here, all of these statistics I've just mentioned, again, it just screams out to me. And again, my interpretation as a human who's unqualified as a psychotherapist or, you know, social observer, but just from what I can see, that it's all about that inability to reach out for support to other human beings and feeling like it's not okay, or that they absolutely can't, that this idea of feeling trapped and stuck and hiding that I mentioned at the beginning. Mal?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, God, that was, again, more crazy stats. And I mean, I can count myself absolutely in the drugs and alcohol side of things, even as somebody who has sat in circles for a long time, and I've done counseling and everything, and also I know in my mind there are, you know, for a number of years the easier option was to reach for a beer and reach for a straw, you know. that was a bit of a past thing for me. So I also have a lot of empathy around that. But yeah,
it took me 2 minutes to actually just put together the straw wasn't going in the beer.
No, the straw was for something else entirely. But yeah, again, there's so much that's coming up for me. You know, the one bit about the reaching out for counseling. And it's like, okay, well, that just tells me that we're doing the wrong fucking thing. That you know, I actually believe that. I firmly believe it. I know counseling is good, but I actually, you know, I've had enough experience now working with men that often that's kind of like step three on the pathway for a guy getting help. It's not the first port of call, you know. Like I think that that's a very it's almost too big a step, that one, in many ways, that making that step into sitting on a couch. And the second thing for me too is that it often talk therapy doesn't get men, you know. As a man, I know I need to get into my body. The most powerful work I always do is stuff that involves some kind of energetic, physical expression. And it's why, it's why we do that in our men's circles. But it's also why, you know, the greatest places to get men talking are often around sports or fishing or things like that. Believe it, where they're actually guys are out doing something physical and it's creating space. I mean, I know I'm rabbiting off and going down a tangent there, but it just, again, it strikes me that we're not doing the right stuff to get the support for men is what I'm really feeling. It's almost like we're trying to do a one size fits all for all genders and all, you know, here's counseling, go do it. When actually that may not be the solution here. And I actually don't think it is.
I'll jump in there. I couldn't agree more. And I don't think you're going off on a tangent. Like I'm specifically, my idea behind this podcast was to read these out to you and see what does come up. And because you're someone that has helped so many men, myself included. And I'm like, how's he going to react to that? What's he going to think to that? I've got my own ideas, but I'm loving hearing yours. And I agree that there's no one size fits all. I also think that counseling, therapy means there's something wrong with you. It's just it's a belief. And you know, men, I think it's a universal thing. I don't think just men think that. I think that things are shifting around it. And as my therapist said to me, you would go to see the dentist every so often to check up on your teeth, wouldn't you? Because you care about the state and the care, the state of your teeth, that you value them. Why wouldn't you do the same for your mind? It's like, yeah. I mean, going to therapy was one of the best things I ever did. And yet still there's this stigma. And I think it does affect men more, if I'm honest, because we think that we have to have our shit together. We can't let go of the idea of being this sort of big protector, this strong human. And I think that's what's keeping us trapped here. But like you said, the way to deal with it, like I'm, and you'll hear about it when it's ready. Anyone listening, me and my offer and how I want to support men, it's not going to appeal to everyone because I'm a human with modalities and a way of doing it that's going to resonate with men who are like me, as opposed to like not alpha males, basically. And that's fine, you know. And then alpha male type humans and coaches are going to be able to offer support that's going to resonate more with those types, and well and good, you know what I mean? Like, so there is no one size fits all. And going to, you know, your doctor, which is a recommendation in this article, that's daunting, because it's like you go to the doctor when something is wrong. And there's still this sense of, oh, as opposed to just it being the most natural part of life, right? To just go and get self-understanding. Why am I behaving like this? And what can I do differently? Because I have a choice and I have an influence over how I think once I am actually able to step back and look at where a lot of these thoughts are coming from, right? That to me is very, very powerful. And the fact that there's still a stigma around not wanting to deal with that is tragic, and I think the statistics bear a lot of that out.
Yeah, they do. They certainly do.
All right.
Well, I mean, another, yeah, I think, and there has been a push on this, I know, recently, but another thing that's coming up when I hear all this, Yeah, and realizing, you know, yeah, God, we, yeah, there is a struggle for men to admit that we're not doing well, whether it's physical, you know, our physical health or our emotional health. And it's an ongoing battle. And I'm sitting there going, so how do we fix it? How do we sort this out? And the thing that keeps jumping up on me is that in some ways, it's me as a man taking care of my mates that is almost the step, it's the evolution, it's the step, it's the piece that evolves. I don't think that as a guy overnight we're going to be able to, by just simply saying, you need to fucking reach out, here are the stats, you need to fucking reach out. I think actually, yes, I do need to reach out, but I actually need to reach out to my mates and go, how the fuck are you doing, bro? You know, like, how are you? And start paying more attention to my friends. I think actually that's what's jumping out at me. That's my responsibility. There's responsibility to myself and there's responsibility to my friends. And it's almost like that feels to me that's the place that we really actually need to step up. That the reaching out to our friends.
Couldn't agree more. And I want to reference that and come back to it when we come towards the end of the final section of the podcast is in what to do about it, because I think that's really key. But I'd just like to read three or four more statistics, if that's all right, to just round up the situation, because there's a few more interesting pieces to be aware of. Men are more likely to be compulsorily detained or sectioned for treatment than women. It's probably related to, probably, again, my take on that, you know, our inability to deal with our emotions and how anger is something that we tend to lean towards more. And there's writing here that bears that out. And yet men are more likely to be victims of violent crime than women. 1.5 times more likely. So that's not a staggering difference, but still men are more likely to be victims of violent crime than women. Men make up the vast majority of the prison population. There are high rates of mental health problems and increasing rates of self-harm in prison, which make me think of what you said earlier, is in the way we're dealing with this problem isn't working. Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, the incarceration one doesn't surprise me. I was taken aback by the one and a half times more likely to suffer physical violence? Is that what it?
Victims of violent crime. That's the exact
victims
language.
Victims of violent crime. And yes, I mean, I'm super curious about that. I mean, does that include guys being drunk at the pub and smashing each other, or, you know, I don't know, but
no
but
doubt
that actually, yeah. But wow, that's that is surprising. And yeah, I mean, again, I'm somewhat speechless, because it's like I know this stuff and I've heard it in different avenues and different places, but to kind of just have it all laid out in one little stretch of time, it's quite confronting, really, as a man.
I wanted that.
As a 48-year-old man who loves men, who really, like, I genuinely think that we are really, you know, that as a whole gender, I think we've got so much to give, and there, what I'm hearing about this is that there's also so much suffering, and it has me think, fuck, we need to start taking care of each other. You know, men need to start taking care of each other, is what I'm feeling just deep down.
I'm deliberately, you said earlier, I'm speechless. I'm like, good. Like, my aim is to just lay this out really in a very bare and clear way, so that even if we, like you said, we kind of know, we have an awareness of this, and yet when it's like put in front of us, it's something to deal with. It's I won't say epidemic or use sensational language like that, but it's a huge fucking problem. And it's my passion to help men through that. And I know it is yours. And yet both of us are still overwhelmed when we read this kind of thing. It's stark. And this is for anyone else out there listening as well, male or female, just to be like, look, this is a real thing. A couple of other sentences and no more statistics. Easy, don't worry. Research also suggests, sorry, in context of something else, but research suggests that men who can't speak openly about their emotions may be less able to recognize symptoms of mental health problems in themselves and therefore less likely to reach out for support. Men may be also more likely to use potentially harmful coping methods such as drugs and alcohol, like the statistic above, and less likely to talk to family and friends about their mental health. There is, however, research to suggest, so, you know, light at the end of a long, dark fucking tunnel, there is research to suggest that men will access help when they feel it meets their preferences and is easily accessed, meaningful, and engaging. Isn't that exciting? And doesn't that just bear out what you just said? High five, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
like, I deliberately kept you in the dark. You know what I mean? Sorry to say this, but like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I believe there's wisdom in what we're doing. I don't care how many people are listening to this podcast, but I believe that we need to get this stuff out there because I think I have something to offer, but I know that you have. And it's like, that's just borne out in this overlap between me asking you these things and throwing them at you for the first time and what's coming out of your mouth. So I just thank you and keep talking.
Well, it's cool. And it certainly, you know, all this stuff that we've talked about of men just being with other men, that's just the total affirmation of it. And, you know, I was thinking about that, the prison, you know, that piece around prisons. And I know from, not from experience, but conversations from people who work in jails and have been in jails. And it's like, you know, the place that so much of the healing occurs in prisons are in circles, like whether it's a religious circle, whether it's an AA or an NA circle, whatever, they're all the same, right? They're places where people come together to get healing and to get to chart a path and a way forward for themselves. And you know, so that's what I'm taking from that last piece. It's like, it doesn't have to be a circle that you and I talk about it, but a place where somebody feels as if their struggles are recognized, they're honored for who they are. There's no belittling, or there's no
expectations,
right? Exactly. It's just that people showing up and recognize the humanity in the other person sitting across from them. Wow, it's really profound stuff. And it's great to hear that it is actually the thing that is most likely to lead towards some kind of change, some kind of creation of a different future for somebody.
I have a brief request to throw in here as well, and it's based on one final fact, fact fans, that actually expands beyond our scope of experience and awareness. And I'd love to invite some people onto the show, we sound professional again, that could enlighten us and educate us and speak to groups that we clearly can't represent. And here we go. Higher rates of suicide are also found in minority communities, including gay men, war veterans, men from Black, Asian, and minority ethnic backgrounds, and those with low incomes. Less well-off middle-aged men are particularly likely to die by suicide. So, I mean, that the piece in particular around gay men, war veterans, and men from Black, Asian, and minority ethnic communities being at particular risk, especially people with low incomes, like that's not us. We're doing okay. And in terms of income, excuse me, and to the to the other groups, which are all very welcome and also okay, like that they're not doing so well and they need support, and they don't have a voice on this podcast, just because we haven't had any guests on that other than Gary that speak to that. So I won't belabor the point, but to anyone else that can educate us and on what it's like to exist in any of those groups, please come on and please speak for others, or even just for yourself, but just add to the conversation, please, because only Mal and I can only do so much.
Mm. Yeah, thanks, Rich. That's a really good invitation, and a nice way to kind of wind us, or you know, bring us towards the end of what has been quite a you know, confronting and quite a you know, sad, heavy podcast. But I actually, it feels like it's been really necessary. You know, I'm certainly feeling like this was really necessary to have heard all this stuff, because it's not that I wanted to feel down or anything, but it's actually reconfirmed this idea that one of the best things that I can do as a friend and as a human being is reach out, is just to keep reaching out to people. And that's just hearing this podcast, or hearing all the information you've shared, is just really confirmed that for me. So thank you. And you know, there is a really important thing to say from me, having heard everything, Rich, is to anybody listening, our invitation, as Rich has just said, is to come forward, because you know, we are doing this in much to create a conversation with you personally. So if you are, two things, if you are personally struggling, you have Rich and I, we are here to reach out to. Also, if you are somebody who knows you've got a friend who's struggling, please reach out to them. Please, you know, take the time to, when they say that they're good, to not let them off the hook, but to ask a deeper question. And that is where it all starts. That's where I think, from all the stuff that we've talked about tonight, that's what I've got. It starts in us taking care of each other, taking care of our brothers.
Agreed. Lovely. I mean, in terms of like what to do, or how to do things differently, I have a couple of other things to throw out there that will land, yes, as they may. Sorry. I'd love your back in your box, Mel. I'm not done.
yeah, no, I got that. Yeah, that was a premature ending on my part. All right, just rewind that last little bit. Go for it, Rich. You take it away, champion.
Ideas, right? I think it's really, really helpful to look at how women have found support and solidarity with each other over the last, well, century, right, as they fight for like equality, fight to be able to, reproductive rights still under threat, ridiculously, especially in America, Jesus Christ, to be able to wear what they want, etc., just to feel safe and just to be able to do what they want in this world. And especially since Me Too, there's just been an overwhelming amount of, and in a positive way, support groups, women's circles, women's entrepreneurial groups, and like there's a women's everything, it feels like, and no doubt there's more needed, but I don't see that happening for men. It almost feels like, well, are we okay to do that? I walked past a shop window and it was like a kind of a women's creative co-working space, women only. Fair enough, great. Why aren't we doing the same thing? Would we get in trouble for that? It's a conversation to create. But if women are doing it because they need solidarity and they want to do their thing, great. Why aren't we doing the same thing? Are we not allowed to? Like, are we in our own minds? I mean, clearly there's no law against that. But what's holding us back from joining together as men and figuring this stuff out? Is it because there's a stigma to men's work still, which we've spoken to in other podcasts? Like, is it because we're just afraid to reach out? And again, your solution comes into that and speaks to that. Like, just creating conversations and reaching out to other brothers. But what if we actually are able to do more and redefine and reimagine what men can look like? I'm interested in helping every unique men that I work with find their own unique version of what masculinity means and looks like in their lives. And we can also do this collectively. So why not there be, if there are women's this and women's that, great. Why can't there be men's this and men's that as well? Like, there are things appearing online here and there, but it's a far cry from what's possible. Also, how about you listening as a way of reappraising these roles? Like, talk to your partner. Have you sat down and ever asked, if you're in a relationship, asked your partner and said, how are we behaving actually? Like, have we ever talked about these classic roles? Have we ever talked about why I'm the one that does this and you're the one that does that? Because I know for a fact there are people that say, well, yeah, we talked about it actually, and we'd never actually thought of it before. And it made no sense that I was doing this, because actually I like doing that. And it just required a conversation. It just required a way of just being honest and saying, can we look at this for a moment? Because is this making sense? Because we're still in a society that where these roles, especially in married or settled life with a kid, we're still set up in a certain way. And there's biases, as you mentioned before, like custody going to a woman always. And I'm not here to say right or wrong with that, but as two people in a relationship asking each other and saying, well, how are we behaving automatically? And what is it that we actually really want that's got nothing to do with roles? And how can we step out of that, if that actually makes sense? Finally, as a man, is it worth asking, I think it's worth asking the question, how is it that you currently identify? Do you identify as like an alpha male or a beta male? Do you know what the difference is? I believe actually we need to find something in between for all of us in our own unique version, like on this scale of masculine to feminine, because essentially that's what it's speaking to, and find our own version of that. But where are you? Are you this alpha male that's like, you know, driven and strong and leading and loud and you know what that sounds like? Or are you a beta male? Or more meaning, more sensitive, more holding back, more naturally relating to women, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we all belong somewhere on this spectrum in between, but how do you sit on that? How would you identify? And are you willing fundamentally to drop the identity altogether and reimagine and redefine for yourself what that actually looks like? And I'm guessing that's going to be quite hard on your own, hence why that's what I'm trying to help men try to do. And this isn't a sales pitch, because I'm not quite there yet, but creating a conversation for your, within yourself and then with other men around you. Like, I invite that deeply, just to get a sense of, well, yeah, I've always thought I was this actually, but I guarantee that when we start talking about it more as men, we actually just want to drop all of those labels and take off those masks. And from that place, we can start showing up very differently. So that's what I have to say on it. Mal, any final thoughts? And then, yeah, we can wrap up.
You know what? I'm going to let those final words ring through the ears of everybody who's listened to them and be content with that, because I think, you know, you made some lovely points there, Rich, and that's a great way to finish up.
Thanks, mate. May that land where it will. Anyone knows how to get in touch with both of us by now, if they're listening to the podcast, the Man Reimagined Facebook page, etc., etc. Would love to hear from you. Thanks for sticking out with this very real podcast, and let's finish thinking on the possibility of how we can behave differently. That's what Mal and I are driven to do, and I'll leave it there too. Mal, thanks so much for being here today, and I'll talk to you next week, mate.
You shall, Rich. Thank you for a really powerful podcast, mate. Take care and see you next week. From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics, so the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.